clocks back for this weekend, or just come early, spend another hour in prayer before service. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Praise the Lord. A city that can't be hid. A city that can't be hid. God bless you. You may be seated. When I was 6 years old, we moved from Texas to Wisconsin. And you want to talk about a change from Texas weather to Wisconsin weather. We moved at the end of the summer, so we got there just in time for a beautiful fall. But then I remember when that first snow came, and it was like snow was on the ground from October to March or April. The pastor there and had felt the call to go to the mission field. Some of you might remember Brother John Wolfram, the former Navy SEAL that helped recover the Apollo mission when it returned from the moon. He had come to preach for us a while back. But Brother John Wolfram had pastored there, and when he left, my father became the pastor there in Wausau, Wisconsin. It was a beautiful city right in central Wisconsin. It's a little similar to Springfield in that there was this main city that was kind of spread out, and then there was a lot of other towns that were outside the city surrounding it. And in the middle of the city of Wausau, there is a large lake called Lake Wausau, W-A-U-S-A-U. And there was a lot of fishing, a lot of boating on it. And it was the first place, the very first place, you didn't know this about your pastor, but it was the very first place that I ever walked on water. I have walked on water. I have driven on water. In the wintertime, it would get so cold that ice would freeze so thick that you could not only walk on it, you could drive a car out on it. Now, they say when it's, I think it's an inch or two thick, you can walk on it, and when it's like 3 or 4 inches thick, you can drive a car on it. We would wait until it was a little thicker than that. But people would go out there, and they would ice fish. They would drill a hole down through the ice, and it might be a couple of feet thick sometimes, and you'd put a line down there, and you'd catch fish. And people would ride snowmobiles across the lake because it would freeze, and it would be perfectly smooth. And so you could ride a snowmobile, some of those faster ones that even went over 100 miles an hour, and it was just so smooth. And it was a real interesting place. And the lake was right in the middle of the city. To the west of the lake was Rib Mountain. And it was kind of a long mountain that was curved, kind of like a rib. It was a great place for hiking and picnics and for snow skiing. Has anybody ever been snow skiing? There's a few. We're going to have to take a church trip and go snow skiing sometime. To the east was a large hill. So you had Rib Mountain on the west, then you had the lake in the middle and the town surrounding the lake, and then on the east was another large hill. And it was not as big as Rib Mountain, but it was still much higher than the rest of the city. So it was beautiful, beautiful place. And when we first moved there, the church was in a small building. It was in an older area of town. And we actually lived in a house right behind the church. They had to use our house for extra Sunday school space because the church was so full. But then we began a building program. It was on a beautiful piece of property that was up on the side of the hill that was to the east of the city. And I can remember working as a kid, during that building program. I don't know if it was probably more playing than working, but there around that building as it started to come together. And I believe it was a beautiful building. I believe it would seat over 300 people. It was a beautiful church. It's still there today, and we've gone back to preach there. And it's a wonderful thing to see something that you had a little part in years ago. One of my favorite things about that new church was the steeple. It was on the top of that high roof of that new church, and And that church was built on this tall hill on the east side of town. And there was that steeple. It was standing tall. There was lights on it that would shine up in the darkness. You could see that steeple. And from anywhere in town where there was a view, you could look up and see that apostolic church with the steeple on top. And when I got older and started to snow ski up over on Rib Mountain, I can remember being there on the top of the mountain and riding on a chairlift up there to ski down the mountain and being a lookout way across the city, miles and miles away. And there you could see the steeple of that church shining in the darkness. That is literally how the church is supposed to be. A light, a city set on a hill for all around to see, to know that there is a God and that there is a higher power. There is a Savior. There is hope for the world. Amen. For people who have no hope, people who have no light, who have no answer, I want to tell you there is an answer, and we need the light of Jesus Christ to shine through us. Amen. We need Jesus Christ to shine through every part of us. It should shine through the way we look. It should shine through how we act. It should shine through our attitude. It should shine through the way we talk. The light of Jesus ought to shine when we're at school or when we're on the job or how we're relating to people. Come on. No matter what we're going through or what we're facing, we need the light of Jesus to shine through us. Hallelujah. And this is not something new. God always intended for his people to make an impact on those around them. Look at the history of the nation of Israel. God's ultimate plan for them was that they would be a light to the surrounding nations. In Isaiah 49:6, we read what God said about them. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Another translation says it like this: I will make you a light to the nations. I will make you a light to the nations. God's plan was that the nations of the world would see him through the nation of Israel. That they would come to the realization that the God of Israel was the true God. The one true God, and that their God had power over all the idols and over all the kingdoms and over everything. Israel was to be a lighthouse, a beacon of truth, and God wanted to show himself through them to everyone else around them so that they would see the glory of God. We see this throughout the Old Testament over and over. God would make his presence known to the rest of the world through Israel. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and they went through all of those plagues and all of those things that they experienced, if we were running things, I don't think it would take so many plagues. I doubt that we would have taken so much time to go through all those different ones. You know, obviously Pharaoh's mind, it's not going to be changed. And so let's just skip to the end. Let's get the people out. That would be our mindset. But God had a plan, and it was more than just delivering his people from bondage. He wanted to teach a lesson for all the world to see something. And in that time, Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world, and Pharaoh actually considered himself to be a god. And so there was no better place in the whole world for God to show himself for who he really is than there in Egypt. And if you study those plagues, one by one, all of Egypt's religious traditions and their idols of worship were defeated by God. If you study it out, each of the plagues that were sent, they were directed at something the Egyptians considered sacred. They worshiped the Nile River, and God turned it into blood. They worshiped the sun, and God brought 3 days of darkness to the land, and on, and all of their gods and all of their sacred idols, they were no match for the mighty God of Israel. When the people of Egypt woke up in the middle of the night to find all of their firstborn dead by the angel of death, they had no choice but to admit that Israel's God was more powerful than anything they had ever worshipped. God used Israel to be a light that he could shine through. Every nation had their own gods during this time, and the way that their God's power was determined and showed off was often on the battlefield. Armies would even carry an image or an idol of their God with them to fight. A battle won for the army was a battle won for their God. A defeat for their army was a defeat for their God. And when two armies were to meet in a fight, everyone in that day, they just assumed that the army with the most powerful God would have the advantage. And as we see the children of Israel come up against the nations and the armies of that day, when God would give them victory in spite of how strong their enemy was, it brought glory to their God. In every one of these situations, God was using Israel as a mirror to reflect his glory and his power and to let his light shine through them. And I've come to tell somebody here tonight, you may be up against some mighty enemies. You may be fighting some vicious battles against the kingdom of darkness. But don't you forget whose God is. He is your God. He is your king. He is your prince. I tell you, he is able. There is nothing that he is not able to do. There is nothing that is impossible unto him. And I just kind of believe that in this last days, God is looking for a people who will trust him enough that they'll stand up in any situation and say, you know what? My God is big enough to win this battle. My God is strong enough. He's mighty enough. There is nothing that can stand against him. And I'm going to let his light shine through me. And I'm going to be a witness to his glory. Come on, somebody. God's calling you in the last days to let God use you and work through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's calling the church. And I know we're going through things and I know we're facing things, but it's time some of us say, you know what? In the middle of this, I'm still going to let God work. I'm still going to let him shine. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. No, but I'm going to let it shine. Amen. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is looking for somebody today that he can work through, that he can bring victory through, that he can bring healing and deliverance through. And he's looking for somebody that would reflect the glory of God so that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel that the power of God can flow through, that the light of God's glory can shine through, that he can do wonderful works and miracles and signs and wonders through, not to lift us up, but that people would see Jesus, that people would know it's God's power, it's his anointing, it's his glory that's working. Come on, we serve a mighty God. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the only wise God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Oh, that men would praise him. Amen, amen, amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. But it wasn't enough that that God would be separate from us. He wished to dwell among us. John 1:1 declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And all that light shined in the darkness. And there was many that didn't understand the light. They were in darkness, and they didn't understand the light. But oh, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's no reason to be walking around in darkness. There's no reason to be walking around without hope and without joy and without abundant life. If we'll follow Jesus, if we'll follow his Spirit, if we'll be led of the Lord, then the light of the world is going to be the light of our life. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a lot of darkness today. It's evil and it's sin and brokenness and hatred and hopelessness. I want to tell you, there's a lot of darkness, but the answer is Jesus. He is the light of the world, and that's how we make it. That's how we live in a world full of darkness. Oh, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've got a light shining. We've got a light guiding us. And just like the children of Israel, we're protected from the darkness in Egypt. We have a light that surrounds us. We have a light that goes with us. It shines in our homes. It shines in our hearts. Come on, we don't walk in darkness. We have the light of life. And how many more are out there? And they're tired of stumbling around in the dark. They're tired of the addiction. They're tired of, sick and tired of being bound in chains of darkness. And they've tried everything the world offers, and they've come up short. But there is hope in Jesus. Amen. That is their only hope. That's their only answer to get them out of darkness. Somebody needs to turn the light on. Come on, you don't need to hide it under a bushel. You don't need to be ashamed of what you've got. You don't need to push it down. You need to let it burn brighter, because somebody's in darkness and they need that light.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, I don't know about all of you, but sometimes this husband comes home and his wife has all of a sudden thought, you know what, I'm going to change the furniture around. And it happens ever so often. Happened not too long ago. And now when I come out of the restroom and start heading out, all of a sudden there's a big old chest sitting there. If you're not careful, cut that corner too short in the dark, you're going to hit it. That's why I carry this thing with me. Because you can turn the light on and you can see. And to this world, you are that light. Jesus came to be the light of the world. In John 9:5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But something changed at Calvary, and something happened at Pentecost, and God called his church to be the light. Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Today, God uses the church to show his light to the nations. It may not be through a physical war that's fought on a battlefield, but through the church. His light is winning the victory, and it's showing his glory over all the world. Oh, aren't you thankful for the church? Aren't you thankful for the church of the living God? This is a wonderful place to be in the church. I don't want to ever miss out on being in the church. I can't think of any other place to build a family, to build a marriage, to build a foundation, a life than other in the church, shining the light of Jesus Christ. And just like that steeple on that church building when I was growing up, the light of Jesus is shining through his church. I tell you, there's hope in this place. Amen. There's joy in this place. There's a life in this place. There's truth in this place. God's glory is here. Holiness and separation provide a protection for the glory, and his light shines through his church. We're not called to be ashamed. We're not called to hide the light under a basket, but we're to be a city set on a hill, a city that can't be hid, because the light shines for all to see. Don't you dare hide it. Don't you be ashamed of it, because somebody's looking for hope. They need an answer. They need deliverance. They're just about to give up, but the light of Jesus can shine through his church. Amen. And we are the church. Turn to somebody and tell them, it's us. Now everybody say, come on, I'm the church. Many times people in the church live two separate lives. It ought to be just one, but they separate into two parts, the spiritual part and the secular part. When they go to church, well, that's the spiritual part. When they go to school to work, well, that's the secular part. We're in the mall and there's just one on sale left. Which one is it? Is it the spiritual part or the secular part? Oh, no, you go ahead. Or do they make a mad dash? And when they're in the post office, the restaurant, the barber shop, the ball field, which one is it? It should not be that we live two separate lives. And in fact, it's in those times that when we aren't in church, that God wants to show his power and his glory through somebody who will be a reflection of his light. Someone who's willing to let God's power work through them and be used. It's those times outside the church building that we have the greatest potential for the light to shine through us. You see, the light needs darkness in order to shine. Oh, we shine when we come to church. We shine when we're singing on the praise team. We shine when we're teaching Sunday school, and that's great. But this is not the only place that God called us to shine. You may not realize it, but when you walk into that workplace, you've just walked into an arena that God wants to show off his glory. When you walk into Walmart, you've just entered a place where God wants to use you. When you go to that family reunion and you're the only one there that's in church, that's where your example is needed the most. People are desperate for a savior. They're in desperate need of deliverance. They've given up on life. They've just about checked out. They've assume they're never going to find joy, but the supernatural power of God can work through somebody who's just willing to be a light. Light shines in darkness. It's different. It stands out. I tell you, when you let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you and you show the world that you have peace, that stands out. When you dress and live a life of holiness, it stands out. and you have healthy relationships, that stands out. When you live with character, that stands out. But you know, a candle isn't any good if it's not lit. We need God to light us from the inside out so that we can shine. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you stand with me in closing today? Praise the Lord. We are readjusting our service schedule on Wednesday nights. I meant to announce that earlier. Generally, we go to about 8:15, but we're going to be wrapping it up about 8 o'clock. And kids got to get home, get ready for school. People got to get to work. So 7 to 8 o'clock, be here, worship, get with the preacher. We'll have an altar call, and you can get home. If the Lord moves and we're laying on the floor praying all night, well, that's fine too. Amen. There's a substance used in science called selenium. It's a chemical element. And selenium has a very peculiar property. Normally, it is not an electrical conductor. But the amazing thing about selenium, if light falls on it, then it immediately conducts electricity. Electricity can flow through it. And the amount of electricity that is able to flow through a selenium cell is proportional to the amount of light that is shining on it. So the brightness of the faintest star, it can be measured by singling out that light from that faint star and shining it on a selenium cell. And then you can see how much current of electricity is allowed to pass through it. Isn't science cool? And to think God created all that, and we're just finding out some of this stuff. Think about this with me. Our human nature, our fleshly nature, it's a lot like selenium. It's a non-conductor. Because left to our own devices, left to our own flesh, left to our sinful ways, we do not conduct spiritual current. God's wisdom and His love and His power, His anointing can't flow through us in our human, fleshly, sinful state. But you just let a ray of God's grace fall on the human heart. You just let the light of truth start to illuminate us. You let the light of the glory of His presence start working on our heart. And immediately humanity becomes a conductor that the Spirit of God can flow through. A conductor through which the works and the goodness of God can pass through into this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be a conductor that God can shine through, and His glory and His power and His anointing can flow through our lives to touch others in this world. Come on, God has called us to be a city that is set on a hill, a city that cannot be hid, so that everybody in your realm of influence, in your circle of influence, in your neighborhood, on your job, in your school, in your family, wherever they might be, everyone you come in contact with, they see the light of Jesus shining. We can't do it in our own flesh. We've got to get full of the Spirit of God. We've got to have His light shining in us first so that we can reflect it to others. I wonder if there'd be somebody right here, right now, tonight, you'd say, oh God, I need You to set me on fire. I need Your glory to shine in me and through me. Lord, I want to be a conductor. Every place I go, every person I meet, I want them to know that I've been with You, Jesus. I want them to know that there's something different about me. I'm not just average. I'm not just ordinary. I'm not like everybody else, but there's something different. There's something powerful there, and it's not me, but it's You, oh God, and You get the glory for it. Oh, come on, somebody reach out to heaven right now. God wants to do that in your life. He wants to work through you. He wants to use you, but you've got to be a willing vessel. Would somebody open up your heart and say, Lord, let it happen in me. Let it be in me, Lord. Flow through me. Shine through me. Work through me, oh God. And I'll give You the glory. I'll give You the praise. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, let Your Spirit work. Let Your power move. Come on, there is so much fear in the world right now. If you just bring a little hope, if you just bring a little help, if you bring a little joy, you're going to shine so bright. Why don't you get a hold of the Lord right now and say, God, let Your power work in me right now.